Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. 100 episodes here of KJV Cafe Season 2. Unbelievable. So thankful to be here. I just can't believe it. I saw we were getting into the 70s and the 80s, and I said, man, I wonder when we'll get to 100, and here we are on the 100th episode. So thank you for listening. I guess time moves fast, or the episodes add up when you do them every day, but it still blows me away how quickly we have moved along in this show. And so I thank you for listening to the podcast. And we have a weekend edition. If you search KJV Cafe Weekend Edition on YouTube or your podcast app, you can find that as well. That's a 30-minute message. Today we got a lot to get to, so I'm just going to dive right to it here. We are going to do Genesis 7, 4 through 5. I would like to mention in Genesis 7, 2 and 3, we were talking about God's plan, and he is so detailed and so brilliant and so poetic and so caring for man. And he's saying, this is what I want you to do. And Noah may not understand God's plan, but while he's doing it, in hindsight, we can go back and study and say, wow, God's giving Noah beasts to sacrifice for God, right? Like, he's providing, you know, his children. It's like if I was giving my children things that they would need to give gifts to me so that they would be right with me or feel like they are contributing to me. Like, it's very deep what God is doing here, but he's providing the clean beasts by sevens. He's providing the unclean by twos so that we have all these animals here on earth today. He's providing them male and female to ensure procreation. And that we see here that this idea of repopulation and procreation is important to God. I shared last message about how in the book of Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7, even as the Israelites are in captivity, even as things are going horrible, they're facing horrible judgment, God's saying, be at peace, plant a garden, eat the fruit of the garden, and guess what? Multiply, multiply, multiply. Don't dwindle out. And I want to just touch on this very briefly, Lord willing. You know, my wife was telling me that, you know, she was talking to someone at the dentist, and they said there's hardly any kids in the church. And another good friend of hers said, yeah, she has a young child. She said, my child's the only child in our little church. We visited, our little home church visited some churches prior to going to the one that we go to now. And some of them had no kids in the church. And we're more cognizant of it because we have two young kids, 7 and 8 at the time of recording this. But think of this. Why are there not many kids in the church? Because the parents aren't bringing them to church. So if you are of God, amen, like if you're saved, you hold a special place of influence in the next generation because God then can do a whole lot with your kids if you so choose to give them to God, dedicate them to God, bring them to church. You set the standard and the priority and watch out. I mean, again, I grew up in a very weird, bizarre, broken situation, but I remember as a young child, there was no desire greater than to please my parents. Amen. I wanted them to be pleased with me. I wanted to be around them all the time. I wanted to do what they did. You know, and then later on, you look up to your siblings, you want to do what they did. This is all in us, in God's mercy and love, to help build these foundations for the future if we are bearing children and keeping them in God's house and teaching them God's ways as the Bible instructs us. But we've gotten to the point where things have gotten so bad that the people that are having kids, for whatever reason, at least in this area, can't find time to bring them to church. Or, you know, may send them on the bus ministry, and God can still do that. He can still use kids in the bus ministry, but how much better would it be if the parents would just get into church and bring their kids and be faithful? Look, sometimes there are things that we aren't willing to do for ourselves because we just frankly might have a low self-esteem or don't care or whatever, but there's nothing we don't want for our kids, amen. And to have God is to have the best thing in the world. And to have God at a young age is the best thing of the best thing in the world. There's nothing better than to be in God as a young child. And we need to remember that. Now, I'm going to get off my soapbox here, and we're going to get back to Genesis as soon as we come back from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now, let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right. So we have Genesis 7, and we have here verse 4 and 5. So we're covering here, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Okay, so that's Genesis 7, 4, and 5. And what does God say? 7 days, and he's going to cause it to rain. 7 days, we see God's perfect number. We see God giving Noah plenty of time to get organized and do what he has to do. We see this age or this season of grace, the specificity. God's in the instructions. He's in the details. He's telling Noah, this is the amount of time. This is his number of completion. I believe at that time there were many people in that society, and God help me, this is just me saying it, that God had impressed upon them now was the time to go to the ark. I believe that God was willing to sacrifice this whole narrative that Noah was the only one found righteous to save but one more, to save but two more, to save but three more, to save but 100 more. And that during that 7-day period there, it was on people's hearts to do it. The Lord had convicted them. He allowed things to come their way that they hadn't seen before. I believe this. This is, again, just my thought. But that 7-day period, not a one walked in that ark. Not a one came to Noah that we can see. We understand that Noah, his wife, his children, and their wives were the only ones saved. There's a time period here today. We live in what's called the age of grace, a period of salvation before the time of judgment, when the ark is closed and the rain comes. You know, the judgment came with a flood then, and it's going to come much differently. It's going to come with a tribulation period now. And I believe it is imminent. I believe we are literally, again, if you were to ask me and we were to talk about the tribulation period, I would tell you, I believe it is like now, as in the next day. Now, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture here. What that means is I believe that we'll be taken out before the tribulation. The Bible doesn't speak of us having to survive through the tribulation period. I believe we are taken home. We at the rapture, the Lord comes in the clouds, the trumpet sound blows. We get up there to be with the Lord. We're with him forevermore. We receive our reward at that time. And then the 7 years of the worst time ever on earth, especially those last 3.5, take place, and God's judgment truly starts to begin. That's when the judgment begins. And at that time, here's the question, can you just be saved? Can you just say, oh God, okay, I trust you now. Things are horrible. I trust you now. No, what does it say in Revelation? They want the rocks to fall on them and die, and they can't. It is the worst time of the worst time. And the only way to be saved during the tribulation period, as I understand it, is to be beheaded. Amen. And I'd much rather just accept Jesus Christ now freely as I can by faith than go through to the guillotine, right? And take it that way, right? It is going to be, you can't buy and sell without the mark, all this. You're entering a different age, a different season, okay, once the tribulation starts, once the church is raptured out, and it'll be too late, essentially. Now, will people be saved in the tribulation? Yes, some people will. There are actually many that will. As you read Revelation, it literally says, John the Revelator, Jesus Christ speaking through him, is telling us, hey, you know what? There's going to be many in white robes bowing down at the throne of God. And John, you know, the angel asked John, who are they? And John says, well, you know, sir. And the angel says, yes, okay. These folks here, they are the ones that were the martyrs from the tribulation. So many will be saved, but I'd much rather accept them freely. I'd much rather go up there and get that heavenly reward. I'd much rather skip the tribulation altogether. I'd much rather accept Jesus Christ in this age of grace. And anybody that had walked on that ark, and I believe the Lord earnestly was convicting hearts to do it, would have been saved from the impending flood and saved from the destruction. That is a period of what is to come. That is not just what did happen. That is a picture of what is to come, I should say. No, it won't be a flood. It'll be much worse. And we see here what's going to happen. God says 40 days and nights of rain, 40 days and 40 nights. That is the time of testing. Amen. We see so much of this. We see 40 days and 40 nights when Jesus was called into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to what? To be tempted of the devil. Amen. So that was that fasting time that he was there and he was tempted of the devil. We see 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ, after being risen again, after the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, tells us he walked the earth 40 days and 40 nights, was seen by over 500. Again, all that would have seen him would have been given, I believe, an opportunity, amen, at that time to believe on him now that that had happened, amen. Certainly, we see a boldness during that 40 days and 40 nights among all his disciples before they were unsure, before Peter was denying him. After that season when he was risen again, they were bold. Read the book of Acts. They were bold and bold and bold, preaching and teaching Jesus, even in the face of persecution, because they had seen him literally risen from the grave. They had seen him before he was crucified. They had seen him presumably at his crucifixion, and they saw him after he'd been crucified. They went to the grave. They saw the stone rolled away. They saw he wasn't in the tomb. Amen. And they were bold among bold during those 40 days and 40 nights. And so we see this picture here of God wiping out the earth in this time of testing. It says, every living substance, think of this, that he has made. Genesis 7 says, every living substance that I have made. This is God speaking. Genesis 7, 4. Think of the idea of this, that God himself is wiping out his creation. It has gotten so sinful and so bad that God himself said, it's become rotten. It's no longer good to keep. You know, think about all the work that you put into creating something, okay? And then you're just going to throw it out? That's how bad it had gotten. And the idea here, I think, to take from this is the idea of corruption, of man living in vanity, of men living in a way that was not suitable to how they were made and was against the ways of their creator. Does that sound familiar? Does that not sound like today? It's incredible what we see here in the parallels of the judgment then and the judgment to come. And yes, God is brilliant enough to let it happen then and to use it in his holy word by inspired writing there by Moses and by the translators and all that for us to understand here today that this judgment is going to happen again. Like the Bible has this great line about though they join hand in hand, they won't go unpunished. The idea here is like, just because something is popular today and that popular thing is rebelling against God, and you take your pick, whatever it is, sports gambling's real big. I'm a big sports fan. I see it everywhere. Just because it's popular or legal, sadly, in North Carolina now and many other places, just because it's popular doesn't mean that God's not going to judge it. Just because you want to see a rainbow flag, a perversion on a window, doesn't mean God's not going to judge it. Just because the president right now might say it's okay to kill a child doesn't mean that God's not going to judge it. You see, though we be joined hand in hand in this sin does not absolve us from God's punishment. When God comes to judge us as he came in the time of Noah, right? And the Bible says, what were they doing? They were buying and selling, giving themselves to marriage. They were getting married. I mean, they were just living like normal. They had no idea because they thought, hey, I haven't dealt with the consequence yet. But it's coming, friend, and it's coming, what does the Bible say? Like a thief in the night, like a thief in the night. You know what? Well, I'm a pretty light sleeper, but when I sleep, I'm pretty much out. If someone were to come and just rob me, you know what that would do? Number one, I'd be surprised. Number two, I'd be unprepared. Number three, they could pretty much get whatever they're going to get. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm asleep, right? A thief in the night. That's how God's coming. The point is, he's going to catch you flat-footed. If you have not called out to God and asked him to save you, which I advise you to do today, by the time he comes, it will be too late to course correct. And that's the lesson from Noah, and that's the lesson for us today. And we see finally in Genesis 7 that Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was faithful. Noah was obedient. And that's very important for us to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible tells us, that we are to be obedient in our lives, in our devotion to God, whatever he calls us to, and that will keep us on the right path. Amen. And that's what we saw Noah do then, and that's what we are to do now. And we're wrapping up this episode. We're going to get deeper into Genesis 7 on the next episode. I thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.